Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about Malcolm Gladwell's, which is basically a book that says everything we think we know about success is wrong. Sophie, I have to ask, did this book make you rethink your own story or what?
Oh, absolutely. And hi to everyone listening. It's one of those books that just reframes how you see the world. Gladwell's whole point is that we obsess over individual genius, but we ignore all the hidden advantages that make success possible. It's not about talent alone.
Right. And he opens with this hockey example that just blew my mind. He shows that the majority of elite hockey players are born in the first few months of the year. Not because they're better, but because the cutoff date for youth leagues is January 1st. So kids born in January are bigger and more coordinated than kids born in December, and they get more coaching and more ice time.
Exactly. And those small advantages compound over time. It's what he calls a cumulative advantage. The rich get richer, literally and figuratively. That's the first crack in the myth of the self-made person.
Then he goes into the 10,000-hour rule, which I'm sure most people have heard of by now. But the way he frames it is so specific. He uses Bill Gates and the Beatles.
Right.
Bill Gates got to program a computer in 1968 when almost no high school in the world had one. And then he got free mainframe time at the University of Washington just by wandering out of his house at night. By the time he dropped out of Harvard, he had over 10,000 hours of programming under his belt.
And the Beatles played 8 hours a night, 7 days a week in Hamburg for years. That's where they became the Beatles, not in Liverpool. They had to play until they were tight. So the point isn't that practice makes perfect, it's that opportunity to practice is everything.
Yes.
And Gladwell is careful to say talent exists, but once you get past a certain threshold, it's all about effort and opportunity. That's a deeply democratic idea, but it's also sobering because it means the most successful people are often the luckiest.
Then it gets into cultural legacy, and this is where the book gets really uncomfortable. He talks about plane crashes and how some cultures have more of them because of how they handle authority.
Yeah, the concept is power distance. In high power distance cultures, like parts of Asia and Latin America, people are reluctant to question a superior. So a co-pilot might see the captain making a fatal error, but uses indirect language that doesn't convey urgency. Korean Air had a terrible safety record until they retrained everyone to speak English and adopt a more direct communication style.
And that worked. They became one of the safest airlines in the world. So it wasn't about firing bad pilots. It was about changing the culture. That's a huge insight.
Then he goes into why Asian students often excel in math. He traces it back to the legacy of rice farming. Rice paddies require constant, meticulous, year-round labor that created a culture of hard work and persistence that gets passed down. It's not that they're naturally better at math, it's that their cultural background values effort in a specific way.
And he contrasts that with Western agriculture, which is more seasonal. So the cultural inheritance is different. I love how he makes these connections that seem far-fetched, but actually make a ton of sense.
Right.
And then he talks about the culture of honor in the American South, which explains higher rates of violence there. It's a legacy from Scotch-Irish herders, where your wealth is on four legs and can be stolen, so you have to project toughness. That's still influencing behavior today.
The part that got me most was the story of Christopher Langen. This guy has an IQ of 195, higher than Einstein's, but he spent most of his life working as a bouncer. He grew up in poverty with an abusive stepfather and never got the social support or practical intelligence that wealthier kids get.
Practical intelligence is huge. It's knowing how to navigate the system, when to ask for help, how to advocate for yourself. Wealthy families teach that to their kids. Poor families often teach compliance. So Langen had raw genius but no practical intelligence, and Bill Gates had both.
So the takeaway for me isn't that success is meaningless. It's that we need to create more opportunities for everyone. We need to build systems that give more people the chance to practice, to get the right cultural legacies, to develop practical intelligence.
And honestly, if you want to go deeper, the whole library's over on 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access.
Gladwell's big message is that success isn't a miracle. It's a pattern. And once you understand that pattern, you can start to rewrite it.
Exactly. Success is about the world we build around ourselves. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.